Bibles, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 48. We are almost through the book of Genesis, chapter 48. Last week we ended with Jacob, also known as Israel, making Joseph swear to him that he would take his bones when they left. He didn't say, if you leave, he said, when you leave. He knew there was coming a day when they would move out of Egypt and into the promised land. And that's faith. The writer of Hebrews told us, by faith, Jacob made mention of his bones that they were going to leave Egypt. And we are going to leave this Egypt. And I have faith that I'm not going to stay here. If the Lord raptures me, fine. If they plant me in the ground, fine. But I ain't staying there. Amen. There is coming a moving day, glory to God, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so Paul said, comfort one another with these words. So when someone's having a hard time, say, hey, won't be long. Moving day is coming. Glory to God. Chapter 48. Now it came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, in this chapter, they are mentioned in that order because that was the order they were born in. Manasseh is the oldest, followed by Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. Now, wouldn't you like to have that testimony? He didn't say, I just heard God. I've heard God many times. He said, God Almighty appeared to me. Can you just hear old Grandpa Israel? Dadnabbit, God Almighty appeared to me in Luz. When you know that you know that you know, ain't nobody can tell you otherwise. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. God Almighty appeared to me. You can hear the conviction. He knew it. He didn't say, I felt it. You know, some people say, well, so you felt the Lord called you in the ministry. No, I don't feel anything. The Lord called me in the ministry. I'm not here because I felt something. I'm here because God Almighty said go. Amen. You know, when you know that you know, nobody can talk you out of it, can they? All right. So he said, God Almighty appeared to me in Luz in the land of the Canaan and blessed me. And he said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a multitude of people, and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. Do you know how long everlasting is? I got news to Mr. Obama. It's still in a force. It's still God's land. It's still God's people's land. And the Antichrist, or whoever that Antichrist may be, is going to try to divide the land. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says when they divide the land, the fury of God will come in his face. I mean, that to me is the mark of the great tribulation. I suspect that will happen at the midpoint. So, anyway, I'm getting off subject here. Settle down, Roger. It's all Viola's fault. She got me singing that song. And he said, fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a multitude of people and give the land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now, your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt, before I came to you in Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon shall be mine. Hallelujah. I could preach a sermon on this verse. Those two kids are mine. Now, this is Israel. This is the man that God told, that God appeared to, and he is speaking as the oracle of God to his son. He didn't say, I would like you to let me claim them as mine. He didn't say, I want to adopt them. He said, they're mine. Right? Now, you and I, we have two ways of looking at this scripture. Number one, we can understand it literally. Israel is claiming his sons because of the time that Joseph was gone. He felt like God owed him something, and he's taking it. That's the way we receive things in the spiritual realm. We possess it. We are able to go out and possess the city, possess the land from Jordan to the sea. He told him to go in and possess the land. We are to take it. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You don't mealy-mouse around when it comes to fighting spiritual warfare. You take the city. You take the land. You take the possession, the mind. The other aspect of this is the other side. Joseph has to give them. And we as parents, sometimes the hardest thing to do is give our children to God, to turn them over to God. We have to let go. And some of you guys are too young to know this, but I'm here to tell you, you think raising kids is hard, wait till they get older. It gets a whole lot harder. They say they step on your toes when they're little and your heart when they get bigger. And you want to fix things. You always want to fix it. You grow up, you're trying to fix it. You're fixing it. You're fixing it. And some comes a time when you can't fix it anymore. Comes a time when you got to give them to God. Comes a time when you got to let go and let God. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. So he says to him, your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you. Now he's not mixing words. They were yours. They were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon are mine. Your offspring, who you begat after them, shall be yours, and they will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. Now, but as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan on the way, and there was but a little distance to go to Ephrath, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons, and he said, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, they are my sons, whom God has given me in this place. And he said, please bring them to me, and I will bless them. Now, the two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, after he possessed them, after he claimed them as his, they became part of the 12 tribes of Israel. And you say, well, how can you get 12 out of 14? Because you already got 12, and you add 2, that's 14. But the Holy Spirit does all kinds of crazy things all throughout the Bible with these two tribes, because they are literally two tribes coming from Joseph. And so if you count Joseph as the overall the tribe and them as a branch of the two, then you actually have 13, because you can say one of them is part of Joseph and one of them is the other part. So what some people have called them a baker's dozen. There's 13. But what happens is the Holy Spirit slants some of them when they're in rebellion, particularly the tribe of Dan, which some say the Antichrist will come out of. And in fact, several presidents, including both George Bush's and the current President Obama, have traces back to the tribe of Dan. Just a little footnote to that. Yeah. And when you look in Revelation, the 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes, Dan is left out. And so then the Holy Spirit plays these games with Ephraim and Manasseh. And so just so you got an overall picture before we go any farther, that this is God. This is a God thing. So he saw the sons and he asked them who they were, and he told them to bring him to him to bless him. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see. And Joseph brought them near, and he kissed them, and he embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact God has also shown me your offspring. Now, I love this verse. I love this verse. I didn't think God could do something, and he did something twice, three times as good. That's what he's saying. I didn't think I'd see your face, Joseph. I not only saw your face, I got to see my grandkids. You know, sometimes the devil will tell you things and you say, you don't know the devil, this is going to happen. Hey, it's not over till God says it's over, amen? God's in control of your destiny, not man, not the devil, not the politicians, not your finances. God has got this, amen? And so you need to recognize, you know, don't be like Israel. Well, I didn't think God was able to do it. Well, look what God has done. God has done above and beyond all I could ask, hope, or think. Why, I think that's what he said in his word, isn't it? Hallelujah. And so, he said, I didn't think, you know, I'd see your face, but in fact I saw your offspring, or his grandkids. So Joseph brought them from beside his knee, and he bowed down with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim with his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand toward Israel's right hand. Now the right hand, of course, is the hand of blessing. The right is the position of honor. In fact, if you have ever served in the military, I know several of you have, one of the things they teach you, if you're getting in a staff car with other people of different rank, you all have to stand outside the staff car and figure out who is the highest ranking. And if you're getting in on the passenger side, the lowest ranking grunt gets in first, and so on and so forth. So the highest ranking person is on the right. And it's supposed to go in that order. I don't know if anybody's ever had to do that before. Usually I was the first one. anyway, we'll not talk about that. But so the position of honor is the right. So he positions Manasseh with his left hand to Israel's right so that he gets the right hand blessing. Okay, everybody with me on that? Then Israel stretched out his right hand, and he laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the youngest, and his left hand on Manasseh, Manasseh's head, guiding his hands, knowing, for Manasseh was the firstborn. In other words, he crosses his hands, and he puts his right hand on Ephraim, the youngest, right? And his left hand on Manasseh. Now, this is not the first time this has happened. In fact, I kind of like the fact that I'm the youngest of the three. You know, back in the Old Testament days, the oldest one got the blessing. But when you look at how the Holy Ghost works, well, I think it was that little runt David that was the giant killer, you know? So I kind of like being the youngest. So anyway, he crosses his hands, stretches his hands, right hand on Ephraim, the youngest, left hand on Manasseh, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the youngest, and he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lad. Let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And so there is a great blessing upon these children. Now when Joseph saw that his father has laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. Have you ever had someone get upset because you didn't bless them the way you wanted, the way they wanted you to bless them? You know what? The blesser is greater than the blessee. And you have to accept that principle of authority. Amen? Be it pastor, deacon, husband, wife, whatever the case may be, that God works through principles of authority. And he has no right to say to his father, you know, or be displeased with his father. And so he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. And Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this is the one, the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. Now that, I know, yeah, I just see some grandpa type. I know, dagnabbit, you know, I know, right? I know, my son. And he also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Now, this is very interesting that Ephraim is now considered the greater blessing than Manasseh when you look at the meanings of these two guys' names. You see, Manasseh means God made me fruitful in this land. And truly, that's why he named him that, because in Egypt he did. But Ephraim means God has caused me to forget my pain. And truly, God made Joseph forget his pain. You know, the pain of his brothers selling him and him spending time in prison, falsely accused. But because they're in this order, there's a great spiritual principle here. That long before God can bless me, I have to be willing to forgive and forget. And there's a lot of people in your life that will hurt you. There's people that will disappoint you. There's people that will betray you. There's people that will tell lies about you. And sometimes they can be your closest friends. Sometimes they can be people you respect. You know, John Bevere has a great teaching called The Bait of Satan. And the way he describes offenses, it makes a whole lot of sense. He says, if some guy on the street that you don't know walks up to you and says, "You're stupid, you're ugly, I heard you preach, you can't preach," you know, or whatever, you just like blow him off, right? But if someone that you love and respect and look up to says the same thing to you, it cuts you to the bone. So the offense is directly proportional to the relationship you have with that person. That's why you hear people leaving church, because the pastor offended them. And believe me, I do everything I can not to offend people, but it happens. Because they look up to the pastor, they have this higher ideal that he's flawless, and so they're more easily offended and more easily run off. And, you know, the old saying, you can please some of the people part of the time or all the time. Anyway, you get the point. But the point is, because we are creatures that can be offended, then we can also carry wounds, hurts, animosity, and maybe even unforgiveness. But you will never experience a Manasseh, a fruitfulness in your life, until you experience an Ephraim, a time of forgiving and forgetting. You know, people say, "Well, I'll forgive them, but I'll never forget." Well, then you won't experience any fruit in your life. If you want to see your life bloom with fruit, you have to not only forgive, but to do your best to forget. And you say, "Well, how do you do that, Brother Roger?" You pull weeds and plant flowers. If there's a memory that they did, and you've talked to them, and you guys have worked it out, then start planting flowers to take the place of the memory of the offense. Start building relationships with them. And I tell you, the best way to get past offenses is to get to know the people and know that they got hang-ups just like you, that they're having daily struggles just like you, that they cried last night in their pillow just like you, that they're real and human and flawed just like you. And when you do that, God will help you to gain more respect and more love for that person, and then you can forget, and then you can be fruitful in the land. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, with that being said, well, let's read a little bit more here. So he blessed them that day, saying, "By you, Israel," I read that, verse 21. Then Israel said to Joseph, "Behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers." Now see, here again is that Grandpa Israel faith. God will. You know, faith, the Bible says, calls things that are not as though they are. We don't say, "I hope," "I wish." You know, we say, "It will. It will. God will see me through. God will make a way where there is no way. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly. God is my source. He will provide. Will, will, will. Not may, not might, will. God will bring me back to the land." You know, the Bible says, without faith, it's just totally impossible to please God. because God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You seek him, you believe him, you confess it, you stand on the word, and God will make a way. Amen. And so he said, Israel said to Joseph, behold, I'm dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Now, it is said that Moses wrote, and I believe he did, the Pentateuch, the five books of the Bible, the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. However, all throughout history, Israel had scribes. And it's probably that Moses compiled these into a codified, unique document. And so I suspect that these 400 years that Israel, the nation Israel, is in Egypt, as they come into the strong bondage that you read in Exodus, I suspect that a scribe has already ascribed what Israel said. And so these people, even though they're in bondage, and even though their bondage is hard, and even though Pharaoh is a hard taskmaster, they're probably standing on the word, waiting for the day. You hear what I'm saying? And one may say to the other one in the tar pit, I don't know how much more I can take. And the other one said, well, you know what your great-great-grandfather Israel said? He said he's dying, but God will be with us and bring us back to the land of our fathers. And so they had a word to hold on to. God always gives people a word to hold on to. God may not come when you want him to come, but he's never too late. It may be 11:59 and 59 seconds and you think, I can't go any longer. Hold on. God's word is true. He watches over his word to perform it. He'll make a way where there is no way. No weapon formed against you can prosper. God is still on the throne. Hold and stand on his word. Amen. Just stand on it. Believe it. And so they probably quoted this statement that God will bring you back to the land of your fathers. Verse 22, moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorites with my sword and my bow. And so, I see Israel there at the last, just having one little, before he dies, one little brag about, you know, I'm pretty weak now, but by the way, I got this little booty over here. I took it with a sword. You know, oh, the ego of man. What can I say? As we close tonight, we've talked about a lot of things. Standing on God's word, the promises, the blessings, Ephraim and Manasseh, forgiveness. Probably the most important thing we can do in our life is really just stand on God's word. I mean, it really is. It all comes down to every one of life's battles will be, are you going to believe God or not? You know, when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and Satan tempted him, it was all about, do you believe God's word or not? You know, I made that statement about the will, God will. But when Satan tempted Jesus, he said, if you're the Son of God, then turn these stones to bread. If you're the Son of God, jump off of this pinnacle, for it's written. If, you know, and so we don't say if, we say God will. But the test is about believing God's word. And I think as we get closer and closer to the very end before the Lord comes, I think the world is going to get darker and darker. And I think each of us are going to be given opportunities to stand on God's word when it's not politically correct. When you face ridicule, persecution, may cost you your job, may cost you a lot of different things. But I promise you, the price you pay for standing faithful to God's word will always be greater than anything you'll lose. Amen? And that's the kind of people God is looking for. And that's the kind of people we want to be. Amen? Stand with me, shall we? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. And as we pray, Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here that is struggling, that you would prompt them, Lord, to just begin to search the Scriptures for a verse they can stand on. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's anxiety. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's despair. But I am convinced that there is a verse in the Bible for every challenge that we face. And when you find that verse, Lord, help them to just stand on that verse, to confess it with faith. God will. God will. God will. And Lord, for those of us that have oftentimes not done it right, forgive us, for we're all human. And let us purpose by the grace of God to be men and women who stand on your word, regardless of the circumstance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hug before you.